since. And the reality is that our relationship with Jesus Christ is brought into focus during these holiday times. Our relationship with him is, you know, we see the bumper stickers, we see the flags, we see the signs. Jesus is the reason for the season. And then what happens is that somebody who is not necessarily a follower of Christ, or maybe they're a skeptic in some way, they begin to kind of tear apart that idea and that concept. They say, well, Jesus wasn't even born during that time of the year, or the events don't line up, or this thing didn't happen, or that thing didn't happen. And so When we get wrapped up in Jesus is the reason for Christmas, what I like to do is I like to say we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas time. That we have a moment on our calendar where we celebrate Jesus coming to earth. Was he born on December 25th? I don't think so. I don't think that's his birthday. If you want to look at it and study it out, you'll kind of come to the same conclusion I did. His birthday is not, I hope I'm not bursting anybody's bubble right here. I hope you're not like, oh my goodness, what are we doing? Let's put the tree away. What are we doing? So we have to come to some recognition that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, December 24th, December 26th. He wasn't born then. But we have a moment in our time that we celebrate Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us to be careful about getting wrapped up in meaningless arguments and dialogue. And I think that sometimes we can lose the argument of when an event is taking place, like the birth of Christ, and forget what it is that we're celebrating to begin with. We're celebrating that Jesus came. We're celebrating that Jesus arrived. He didn't show up on the scene as an adult, a mature male. He was actually born. He actually lived a childhood. He was brought into this world very much the same as many of you, especially if you were born at home. Very similar. Our first child was born in a midwife's house, and that was an experience in and of itself. I had some family members born in my home. That was an experience in and of itself. Jesus was brought into this world in a similar way that you yourselves have experienced, whether as children or as adults, as someone having a child. And at Christmas time, that's what we celebrate, is Jesus Christ coming to this earth. So what we would do then is we would take it to the next place, is we would say, okay, am I celebrating the start of a religion, or am I celebrating the birth of my Savior? You see, Jesus, the whole time that he was on earth, spent time in very thick dialogue with the religious leaders of the day. And I've often wondered, if Jesus were to return today and under similar circumstances, if this was the coming of the Messiah, if we were living in the day and age right now when Jesus was prophesied to come and all those events were happening, and now as an adult, would he be having similar conversations with the religious leaders of today? Would he be having similar confrontations with people today as we have set apart ourselves and saying, that am I serving the religion, or am I serving the Savior? That's something that I think would be very important for us to be able to understand as we move over through these next few weeks. Is it about Jesus, or is it about my religion? Is it about a relationship, or is it about my religion? And I have to tell you, I prefer the relationship over the religion every single day. Every single time. I prefer worshiping and serving my Savior, Jesus Christ, and not a religion. I ran into somebody that knows that I'm a pastor, and we have a kind of like a passive, quiet friendship. We're not best friends. We just when we see each other, we kind of have casual conversations. And he was going off. He's like, man, this must be an amazing time of year for those of you who are religious. And I always walk through that door when it's opened up. And I said, I'm sorry. Maybe you didn't know that. I said, I'm not religious. And they were like, what? What do you do over there at that building then, you know? I mean, it's just like, they were taken aback. And I said, actually, I try really hard not to be religious. I try really hard to focus on my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I had a moment of a conversation with that person that I think I've had 5 years running. That let's talk about what it means to serve Jesus Christ and not to be like a member of some kind of club. Am I serving a religion or do I have a relationship with Jesus Christ? You're in Hebrews right now, and I'm going to ask you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. This particular scripture comes right in the midst of a conversation that the author of Hebrews, many believe to be Paul, but the author of Hebrews is kind of laying the groundwork for a generation to realize that there is a message that is being preached. There is a word that is being spoken, and we must hang on to that word, or else if we don't, we'll drift away from the concept of who Jesus Christ is. We'll slowly begin to kind of drift away from who Jesus Christ is. And I believe that we live in a current culture that is very happy to say, I know who Jesus is, or I believe in the big man upstairs, or, you know, the big guy came through for me, or that type of thing. And we have those kind of moments in our culture. But as soon as we begin to talk about a relationship, people get a little unsure about that. They're not really sure how to handle that. And like I mentioned last week, when you go so far as to say that you've actually talked to God and He talks to you, people get a little like, "What are you talking about?" Right? But the author here, he says, we got to pay really close attention to what's going on, because if we're not careful about who we are and what we do in our relationship, we're going to drift away from an understanding of who Jesus Christ is. We're going to slowly begin to drift away. I believe that people are hungry for truth. I believe that we live in a generation where people have heard enough of the fluffy stuff. They've heard enough of, you know, be a Christian, everything will be fine. What people really are looking for is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What people are looking for is, what does it really mean in my life to have a relationship with Him? And the reason that there's that hunger is because there has been a slow starvation of truth over many decades. We've gone from just full-on revival of people coming to Jesus Christ to being comfortable arriving at the right time and at the right moment and making sure that we know the right people and we have the right associations and kind of making sure that we are comfortable in our Christian walk. And we are being fed Scripture through an IV drip, and just getting what we need to sustain ourselves. And the reality is God wants to pour out His blessings upon men and women. He wants to fill us to overflowing. He wants us to walk in power and authority. The author says, pay close attention to what you have heard, lest we drift away from it. Something that I'm often reminded of during this time is that we do live in a season where it's not so easy to have a full-on relationship with Jesus Christ without encountering someone who is the authority on why we shouldn't be. This past year, I celebrated 21 years of being on staff here. I've been the lead pastor here since 2006. I've had a tremendous journey of walking with the Lord, learning stuff. I've been learning along. This on-the-job training is crazy when it comes to ministry. You just figure stuff out as you go. And I was talking to my friend, and he's kind of agnostic. And an agnostic is, they believe everything but trust nothing. That's what an agnostic is. They don't believe anything is an absolute truth. And so I was sharing with him. I said, well, I've got this and I've got that. And then he began to do something that is very common. He began to quote scripture to me. And he began to tell me how that scripture did not line up with this other scripture. And he had like his six or seven verses all read. You know, what about this one? What about that one? And what about that one? Right? And I'm supposed to go, oh my goodness, I've never thought of that before. I'm going to become an agnostic today. Right? And I looked at him and I said, say I was a scientist who had been working in my field for 21 years, and I had been operating my own lab for the last 13 years, and I had been doing doctoral dissertations on a weekly basis. And I had come to a conclusion that this particular thing was absolutely true. Would you believe me? You go, all day long, absolutely. Right? If you've been following Jesus Christ for any period of time, and you have read the Bible, there's something within you that needs to stop looking for the inconsistencies and the trip-ups and begin to look at the blessings and the perfection of the God that we serve. Amen? That's good right there. Let's pray and go home. We have to be able to recognize that I'm not talking about professionalism. I'm not talking about a career Christian or something like that. But I'm trying to let you see that you are no wishy-washy, half-hearted, doesn't-know-anything believer in Jesus Christ. You are a child of God that is a carrier of the truth, and you must carry that truth to this world. And somebody who has in their pocket a few things memorized shouldn't shake you. That shouldn't go, man, you're right. Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. What are we doing here? We should be able to say, you know what? I know for a fact he was born. That's a fact. We know for a fact the year. This really rocked everybody. It was like 4 BC. Wait a second. No, it's supposed to be 0, right? It's supposed to be 0. No, it's 4. We know what season it was. We know exactly where it was. And here's the thing that I don't weigh anything on, but it's fun to say. There is extra biblical. That means outside the Bible. There is extra biblical evidence that Jesus Christ was really born in the exact way that the Bible says. There is evidence that a ruler hated the fact that there was somebody else born that was going to bear the name king, and so he slaughtered every child under 2 years old. There's extra biblical evidence that that really did happen. So am I going to stand here and go, not on December 25th? The Bible doesn't say he was born on December 25th. The Bible doesn't even talk about Christmas, for crying out loud. The word Christmas is not even in the Bible. Where was I? It's not about Christmas. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Christmas is an amazing time to celebrate who Jesus is. And the fact that he came. If you're in Hebrews, you're not too far from the letter that was written to Titus. And in Titus chapter 2, it says this, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. The power and the authority of Jesus Christ." You can turn over to one of the epistles in Colossians. Colossians. General Electric Power Company, or God Eats Popcorn, if you want to help remember where those things are. Colossians. It's right after Galatians, right? No, that's not true. God Eats Pop. Philippians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. "And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds." Isn't that, or do you feel encouraged today? Right? This is Paul. He's saying, this is where you were. This is what you experienced. And in verse 22, he says, "He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death," which we celebrated this morning with a thankful heart that Jesus Christ was not only born, but he died on the cross for us and he rose again on the third day, and we are set free from the sin of bondage. That's good stuff right there. "In order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." God uses this language a couple of times in Scripture where we are actually presented. Have you ever done a science project for school? Do you guys remember back? I can tell for some of you that this is, we're remembering way back now. But when you did when you did science projects at school, right? And you would bring it, and the judges would come along, and they would, or the teacher would come along, and they're grading it. And you'd I remember kind of standing in front of mine and not letting the kids look or poke. And at some point, you go, "Ta-da! There's my volcano in a soda can. Let me add the baking soda and the vinegar. Red dye everywhere, right? There's my thing, presenting it." When you have your, as a parent, when I had my first child, I can remember when my parents came over to see baby Eve. She was called baby Eve until she was like 14. And we had baby Eve, and baby Eve was there. And my parents came over, and I was like, I'm just kidding. "My baby, there's my child." Scripture says that he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. He wants to present you. Here he is. Here she is. Here's this. Isn't it awesome? I gave my life for you, and God, here she is, here he is. I present, right? I'm presenting, and he's not presenting this little broken down thing that you add the baking powder to, and this little, and it makes a mess everywhere. He's presenting. What does it say? Holy, blameless, and above reproach. Some translations say perfect. Come on. Come on now. Holy, blameless, and above reproach That's you. That's who you are. God loves you that much that He would do that. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, continuing on, Paul kind of makes a note here for us that we realize that there's a part that we play in this. In verse 23, it says, if indeed you continue in the faith. Do we need to read that part again? If indeed you continue in the faith. Well, Pastor Phil, I go to church. You know, I'm a C&E Christian. Christmas and Easter. Come on, church. Oh! Right? But instead, what we're doing is we're saying, Paul puts out this little thing here. This isn't Phil Taylor. This is scripture right here. It's saying, if indeed you continue in the faith, what are some things that are evident there? You're stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. In other words, I've given my life to sharing this message. You heard the message, and all of this stuff is true. You're going to be presented before God if you remain in the faith. That's the responsibility that I have. I need to remain in the faith. I can't just be passive about it. And don't misunderstand me. I don't judge based upon church attendance. That's not, you know, when I talk about Christmas and Easter attendance, that's not it either. You can come at Christmas and Easter and go to heaven. You're like, we can? What are we doing here right now? You can. It's not about church attendance. It's about what's going on in here. And then once you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, guess what? You want to be around other people. You want to have the fellowship. Paul says, do not neglect the gathering of the saints as some do. That's what he says. So we're the gathering of the saints. Did you guys know that you're all saints? Did you know that? We can just start making the plaques next week, right? We just make them all the way around. There we go. It's not about here. It's about here. I'm changed and transformed, not because of here, but because of here. And because there's something going on in here, I can't wait to get here. Right? It's almost Sunday. Yes. I can't wait. Because I believe that God desires to transform us in our relationship with Him. We need to come knowing that there's no judging. There's nothing that, there's no way, well, you've got to get this thing figured out. You've got to get that thing worked out. Or else, you know, you've got to get, no, come. But then once I come into the presence of God, I'm not going to stay the way that I am. I can't. It's not possible. Something awful is going to happen. He's going to convict me of things that don't line up with the Word of God. That's what's going to happen. And then because of that, I become a transformed human being that loves Jesus Christ and everything that He brings to the attention in my heart. I desire those things in Him. So if I'm going to do this, I need to continue in the faith. I need to make sure that I'm stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. These are warnings that Paul is laying out to the church in Colossae, but he's warning us even today as he's saying, be careful that you don't drift. So if you're taking notes, there's a couple of things I want to make sure that we don't leave without today. One is, what is my view of God? What is my view? As I come into this season, what is my view of God? The very first thing is that we need to see that Scripture says that He is the creator of all things. That's a conversation and a message in and of itself. There's all kinds of things that are going on in the world today where Christians try to integrate what they feel that they've learned through science and what they think the thing is going on millions and billions of years. And anybody who's known me for a period of time knows that I love that arena. I love those conversations. And I love talking about the historical evidence that is in Scripture. Scripture is not a science book, but it's never scientifically inaccurate. God is the creator of all things. As soon as we try to integrate the world into the views of God, we begin to decrease the value of Scripture. And that's a formula that'll work every single time. Oh, the world thinks this way? Okay, let me see if I can squeeze that into Scripture, and now I diminish the value of Scripture. It's a formula. It works every single time. It's mathematically accurate. Bringing in the world into Scripture diminishes its value every single time. We have to make sure that we understand that God is our creator. Here's what it says, if you want to write this down. We don't have time to turn to every single scripture I have for you this morning. But in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, and to bring to light for everyone who needs glasses. Oh. And to bring to light for everyone who what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things. Over and over again in Scripture, it says that God created all things. And so if God created all things, and it's repeated over and over again in Scripture, then guess what God did? Thank you. He created everything. Because if he didn't, guess who's a liar? Paul is a liar. Not just, he was just trying to make a point. No. If God didn't create everything, then Paul is an out-and-out liar. John. If God didn't create everything, then John is an out-and-out liar. How are we doing so far? You see what I'm talking about? Is that we can't say, well, he provided the things that were necessary in order for the goop to come. No, he created everything just the way the Bible said. And if he didn't, then there's a number of people in the Bible that are liars. And I don't think any of them are. I don't think anybody in the Bible is a liar. If we say that God did not create everything, Jesus is a liar, because he refers to the Garden of Eden, and it refers to creation week. Are you willing to go there? Are you willing to say that it's not the way the Bible says? So who is God? He's the creator of all things. The second thing that we need to come to grips with in our society that's becoming harder and harder to do is that we need to recognize that he is the one true, only, singular, one God, no other gods. He's it, period. You know, you see those bumper stickers now that say coexist, and it's all the different. The reality is that God is it. That's the reality. God is it. We don't have multiple gods. Somebody will say, well, you worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So you're polytheistic. It means many gods. I say, nope. This is the three in one, perfect relationship. Still worship only Jehovah God. That's it. There's one. Scripture after scripture, Jesus refers to himself as God. So now, we've identified that Jesus could probably, you know, if we're going to integrate science, then we'd have to come to understand that Jesus lied about the creation week. And now we have to come to understand that Jesus also, when he referred to himself as God, was a lunatic. Because in our society, there's been some people that have referred to themselves as God. They're lunatics. Right? They're not God. And all you have to do is go like 24 hours back in their life. You can figure out they're not God. So are we coming to a place where we're saying, what is my view of God? As we're coming into this Christmas season, how do I really look at God? How do I observe who he is? How do I see it in my life? Do I recognize him as the creator of everything? Do I recognize him that he is the one true only God? And why is that important? Because if there's others, then there's so many things in Scripture that are discredited and not true. And the moment that I allow something else to take that place of worship in my life, then I'm saying the areas of Scripture are not true, don't apply to me, and don't apply to anyone. As a matter of fact, if I can say that one part of the Bible is false, then the entire Bible must be discredited. And I can tell that would be an interesting conversation to have with many people in our lives. It's very possible. Look at 1 Corinthians. Well, write this down. We don't have time to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Do you know what that scripture just did? It tied God and Jesus together. There's one God, there's one Jesus. We exist simply because of the two of them. And guess what? They're the same dude. They're the same guy. It's the same one. God, Jesus, they're all there together. Holy Spirit, we're getting there. So the first one is he the creator of all things in your life? The second thing, is he the only one true God in your life? The third thing, is he the only one that I can trust with my life? Is that how I view God? Is he the only one that I can trust with my life? And that comes down to, what is salvation? How does that work? Am I somehow... Do I need to, once I ask Jesus to come into my life, do I need to put on some kind of spectacle of myself and make sure that God pays attention to me and God sees me? We just got out of a series on that. Feel free to go online and see that there is no audition. There's nothing that I can do right now to make Jesus love me more than he does right now. But guess what I can do? I can love him more. I can get to know him better. I can have him more active in my life. There's nothing I can do to make Jesus love me more than he does right now in this moment. Zero. And if there was, then we would have a problem because we'd have to figure out what that thing is. We'd have to make sure we never missed. We'd have to make sure that we're always doing it. I can't do anything to make God love me more than he does right now. But I can love him more every day. My relationship with him, the creator. Salvation is something that has become so watered down in our society that there are literally millions that believe that an assembly like this and simply being present at an assembly like this makes you a follower of Jesus Christ. That's not true. That's not true. Coming to a gathering like this introduces you to Jesus. I'm hoping that as we read Scripture together, that all of us are getting to know more about who Jesus Christ is. But an assembly like this doesn't save you. Only Jesus can save you. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ can save you. Only knowing who he is and accepting him into your life as your Lord and Savior can save you. And coming to church is a good start. It's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with it. But it's not your salvation. It's not my salvation. I'm not more saved than you because I'm a pastor. I'm not. I'm saved. You're saved. Wouldn't you like to be saved too? Be a believer? Yeah, a holy believer, right? That's a new worship song we got going on right now. It's not about that. It's about this. right here. This is good. Would you agree? This is good. Are we having fun this morning? I believe Jesus is fun too. I've been going to church since I was a fetus. There was a time when church was not fun. Church was not a good time. Church was kind of boring. And I said, man, if I ever get a chance to be a pastor, I'll have Unboring Church. That'll be the name, Unboring Church. Unpredictable church. What's going to happen today? Is the ceiling going to fall? I don't know. But the reality is that it's not about what goes on physically. It's all about a spiritual encounter. That's what salvation is. It's a spiritual encounter. Luke chapter 4 and verse 36 talks about this. He says, and they were all amazed and said to one another, what is this word? For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits and they come out. This is a group of people that were standing around. This is actually disciples before they were really figuring out that who they were to Jesus. Jesus was calling them early on. And in chapter 4, he's commanding the lame are being healed and now demons are being cast out. And they look around and they're like, man, what is going on? You know, demons are listening to this guy and people are being set free from demonic oppression. What in the world is happening? What kind of guy is this? And the reality is that the authority and the power that comes from relationship is necessary. What is my view of God? That he's the creator of all things. What's another view that I want to be secure in? Is I want to know that he is the one, the true, the only God. And then finally, I want to know that I can trust my life to him. I want to know that that is the ultimate decision that I'm coming to, is that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, and I can trust him with that. This morning, as we close our service together this morning, this moment that we're in right now is kind of the beginning of a lot of, what's the phrase, hustle and bustle. We've got to make sure that we get this thing done and meeting with this family and working out when we're going to be here and when we're going to be there. Live nativity stuff is just ramped full speed ahead. We just finished having Thanksgiving. And boy, was that good. But my prayer for you over the next 4.5 weeks is that you would have an encounter with Jesus Christ like you never have before in your life. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved, how long you've been going to church, over the next 4 weeks, can the birth of Christ be a reality to you? Because Jesus is not a baby anymore. Today is my daughter Sophia's 14th birthday. Right now. She's not a baby. Right? She's not a baby. Jesus grew up. And as a man, he did some amazing stuff. And it's kind of disarming for us to see baby Jesus and, you know, here's the baby. Nobody's threatened by babies. If you are, get help. But nobody's threatened by babies. And so we're comfortable with Jesus being a baby. But what we're doing right now is we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. He's not still a baby. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in this kind of mode right here. Nobody knows when I'm coming back. I don't even know when I'm coming. Am I coming back now? How about now? Is it now? When is it? He's ready to come back for his church. He's ready to come back for his bride. And he's ready to present you holy, blameless, and perfected. Can you stand with me this morning? Father, we come before you. And I just ask that we would be able to dismantle any kind of religious view of you in our lives right now and recognize the reality of what it means to be a follower of Christ. These next few weeks, we're going to have all kinds of different encounters. It is a joyous time. It's wonderful. And then shortly after that, we begin a brand new year of knowing you and walking with you and learning what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. One more year. Father, I ask that today our encounter would be so strong with you that we would walk from this gathering saying, I want more. God, just give me more. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. If we could just have another 90 seconds. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, if you don't know the Jesus that I was talking about today, if you only know a religious view of Jesus and you want to have the revelation of Jesus Christ in your life, I don't want you to go away from this building still confused and not knowing who Jesus is. This morning, if you would like to ask Jesus Christ into your life, nobody looking around, let's all just kind of, if you're not comfortable with your closing your eyes, just stare at the seat in front of you. But this morning, if you would like to give your life to Jesus Christ, we want to celebrate that with you. If that's you this morning, could you just slip your hand up and say, that's me. I've had a religious view of Jesus, and I want to have a relationship with him. If that's you this morning, we just want to welcome you and rejoice with you. And I know that sometimes there's things and we just need to think about them. Are you done thinking now? Is that long enough? No, but seriously, just allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your life and to say, I have so much more for you than the limitations that you've placed on me by the understanding of this religious relationship. Let's have a scriptural relationship together. Father, right now, we just seal this time in Jesus' name. We're going from here about to enter into one of the largest areas of ministry that this church has with this live nativity. We're going to get a chance to hang out together, fellowship in ways that we haven't had all year long. We just pray that every single person that comes would know that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give him praise this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. You're worthy. Before you go, there's been an announcement that's changed on you a couple of times. And one of them has to do with our Christmas dinner. Our Christmas dinner traditionally has been held here. And traditionally, I've cooked it. There's not 65 people that come to Grace Fellowship Church anymore. And so it's beyond my ability to cook as much as I would love to for all of you. So what we've done is we've rented a facility. It's right here on Route 8. It's called the Timberlake Lodge. We've hired a company to make us a meal. And we'll be asking that you bring your favorite Christmas dessert to share with us. And one week it said somewhere, whether on the slides or in the bulletin, it was going to be X number of dollars. And we realized that our Christmas fellowship is actually a thank you to the church. The live nativity, I love saying this. Are you ready? I say it all the time. I love it. Here it comes. We have close to 95% participation in our church for the live nativity. And without that level of participation, we could never, ever put an event like the live nativity on. So as a thank you to you, there's no fee at all for the Christmas dinner. It is absolutely free. And we want you to come. We want you to be excited about it and have fun and not have the financial end of it be a reason that you wouldn't be able to come and hang out with us. So there's no cost at all for you to come. And we want to make sure that you knew that. There's a little bit of confusion about it. We were actually kind of like, well, you know, but we want to make it free. Is everybody good with that? Because of that, we need to know how many are coming. So there's registration things. If you have your bulletin with you, you'll see at the bottom there's a place for you to say, I'm coming. Over the next couple of weeks, we need to know the answer to that because our Christmas dinner is December 20th at Timberlake Lodge, 6 or 6:30. It's there somewhere. You'll see. Please make sure you fill that out and let us know that you're coming, how many, so we can properly plan for the evening. Is everybody good? Awesome. Have an amazing week. We look forward to hanging out with you all this week, Monday through Friday. There's going to be people here doing something on the live nativity. So please make sure check with us and check with us regularly. God bless. Have a fantastic week.